welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm Mark Levionier, your guide through the sour of a famous sitcom, The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. In the winter of 1949, they presented a two-part story best known as The Wrestler, and we'll hear that over the next hour. Here's part one with Phil Harris and Alice Faye, first broadcast on November 27th, 1949 on NBC.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Once a month, Alice's brother William goes over the various investments that he's made for her. Today is the day for his report. And as he explains Alice's financial holdings to her, Phil sits by in open-mouthed amazement.
I don't quite understand this, Willie. Explain it to me once more.
Very well. These are the dividends from your AT&T stock. These are the collections from your apartment building. All this is interest from your government bonds. Philip, stop drooling. Getting Alice's money all wet.
Oh, forgive me, Alice. I wouldn't want you running in and out of Safeway with a mess of soggy $100 bills.
Phil, stop making up big things about my money. I happen to have a few dollars invested. If you had done that with the $200 you had last week, you wouldn't have lost it.
What are you talking about? I invested that money very wisely. I stayed up a couple of nights figuring out all of the angles, went over the whole proposition carefully.
Then how come you lost it?
Well, how did I know the jockey was going to fall off in the stretch?
Why don't you invest in some good stocks, or why don't you buy a little business?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a good way to lose your shirt buying into a business and you don't know nothing about it.
Well, then go into something that you know about.
Yeah, that might be all right. Quiet now while I think of something I know all about.
It seems like a splendid opportunity to take a nap.
Go ahead, Willie. I'll nudge you if he comes up with something.
Oh, get a load of Milton Berle and her mother.
Why don't you let me advise you on a business?
Yeah, because I don't want any advice from you on a business. That's why I got plenty of intellectual friends to advise me.
Like Frankie, I suppose.
Well, what's wrong with Frankie's intellect?
Nothing that a cut-rate brain surgeon couldn't correct with a dull knife and fork.
Now, leave Remley alone. Remley's no dope. That kid's got a good head on his shoulders. And the one he carries under his arm ain't bad.
Philip, if you let Francis advise you, you're making a big mistake. Why, he's stupid.
He is not stupid. He's just as smart as I am. Let me tell you something, Willie. You'd be surprised at how much Frankie knows. Why, Frankie can take any bottle of patent medicine and tell you exactly how much alcohol is in it. There's a lot of other important things like that he knows. You'd be amazed. Don't worry. I'll get that. Hi. Hiya, Frankie.
Curly, did you know that if you dissolve an aspirin in a gallon of rubbing alcohol and let it soak into your chest for 2.5 hours, you can get a hangover without a headache?
Been telling them about you. That's what. Yes, sir. You see, Willie and me just had an argument, Frankie. He said that you're stupid, but I defended you. I said you're just as smart as I am.
What kind of a defense is that?
But Frankie,
Willie only said I'm stupid. You got me in a moron bracket. You hurt my feelings, Curly. I feel I'm smarter than you, and if you're going to go around saying...
All right. I apologize.
All right.
You're smarter than I am. That's why I
I want to ask your advice.
My advice? About what?
Well, you see, Frankie, I saved a little money up, and well, Willie thinks that I should invest it in something, but, well, I thought I'd talk to you first.
A wise move. How much have you got to invest?
Not so loud, Remley. I don't want Alice to know about this, but I got $500 stashed away.
Where have you got it?
Pinned to my undershirt. Willie wants me to invest it in AT&T.
Well, that's a good stock, but hardly the thing for a man like you, Curly.
Don't like it, huh?
No, you need something more active. I'd suggest you put your money into RSFBB.
RSFBB?
Yeah. The Remley Slush Fund for Buxom Blonde. It's a holding company. Great stock.
Oh, Remley, will you stop with that ridiculous... You pay dividends? Now, look, Frankie, I better put my money into something more substantial, like some kind of business, maybe.
Business, huh? Curly, how would you like to finance my Uncle Eddie, the inventor? He invented a household gadget.
No. If I want to finance any inventors, I'll back my own relatives. See, my Uncle John is pretty good at that stuff, too.
What'd your uncle ever invent?
I'm glad you asked that. He invented the greatest can opener I've ever seen. It's a combination pile driver and brush.
How's it work?
Like a charm. Now, you put a can of beans on the table, press a button, and the pile driver comes down and flattens the can.
What's the brush for?
To scrape the beans off the wall. Let's see your uncle top that.
You think he can't, huh? My uncle invented a $3 bill that
all
you couldn't...
Right, all right. Let's not milk it, huh? Now, look, Remley, I want to invest the $500 in something that I know about, and if you come up with an idea, then I'm going to cut you in for part of it.
Okay. Look, Curly, why don't you invest in something that has to do with show business? Buy a part interest in a burlesque house or a secondhand strip teaser. How about a radio station, or better yet, something to do with television?
That's it.
The strip teaser, huh?
No. Television.
Oh.
Why, that television, can't you see it? That's the greatest thing to hit show business since buttered popcorn. Now, if I could invest in a small television station...
Well, if that's what you want, I can help you. Bill Zachary owns a small television station in the Valley, and I think I can get him to sell you some stock in it.
Oh, thanks, Frankie, can you?
Sure.
Well, listen, you go over and talk to him, and then... Hey, wait a minute. Hold it a minute.
What?
Well, maybe you better take my $500 with you. You see, in case he agrees to sell, I want to get in on it before he changes his mind.
Well, all right, give me the dough.
Okay. Close your eyes while I unfasten the pin. Hey, look, Remley, now if that guy agrees to let me in on it, good. But remember, I don't want anything else but television.
No, you leave it to me. I'll see you a little later, Curly.
All right, so long. I gotta go in and tell Alice. Oh, boy, if I can get in on the television deal, I'm all set. I'll show Alice I'm just as smart as her stupid brother. Hey, honey, I got news for you. I just made a... Oh, shucks. I'll have to wait. She's about to sing to her brother, Willie.
You're the cream in my coffee. You're the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. You're the starch in my collar. You're the lace in my shoe. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. Most men tell love tales, and each phrase dovetails. You've heard each note. old way. You're the sail of my love boat. You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you.
We're not good poets, how well we know it. We've never been great ravers, but when we speak of you, we rave a bit, it's true.
Oh, fellas,
our heads are turning, and just from learning your estimation of us.
What sugar does for tea,
that's what you do to me.
Cause you give life savor, ring out each flavor. So this is clear, dear, you're my Worcester steer, dear. You're the sail of my love boat.
You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you.
Hey, that was swell, honey. Look, I got good news for you, Alice. See, I've decided to buy an interest in a television station.
Oh, Phil, that's a wonderful investment. How many shares are you buying?
Well, I don't know yet. See, I really don't know, but I gave my contact man the money, and he's out closing the deal for me now.
Who is your contact man?
Frankie.
Oh, no. No. No.
Alice, stop pounding your head against the wall. You're making the pictures all crooked.
Phil, you should know better than to let Frankie make any investment for you.
But, honey, this is legitimate.
Frankie doesn't know anybody legitimate. You're always falling for Frankie's line, and this
but
time,
honey,
I'm going to put a stop to it.
Well, I'm not...
You know what he's like.
Oh, he's...
Do
been...
you remember the time he bought you that leaky boat?
Yeah, but I
or
could...
the time he bought you that sway
well,
back
we still
horse?
Got the
or
horse.
Or the time he bought you that hot
well, honey,
horse?
Never...
Or the time he
but
bought
honey,
you that
you...
second-hand greyhound bus? Or the time he bought you that fox and kangaroo? Or the time he...
Honey, please! It's been going on like this for 4 hours. Now, lay off, will you? I keep telling you, this time Remley's on the level. He explained to me that's him now. Come in.
Here I am, Curly.
Well, lay the good news on me.
I did it again. You are now in television.
Oh, you baby boy. You see your district attorney? Hey, Remley, how many shares did you get me in that station, kid?
Well, I didn't exactly get you shares in the station, but I bought you something even better. I bought you the biggest thing in television.
Well, what did you buy me?
A 260-pound wrestler.
Remley, how could you do such... Alice, stop that. You're making the pictures crooked again.
This is a great investment.
Oh, sure, great investment. $500 for a wrestler.
I didn't pay $500.
Oh, you...
I got him for $250. Just think, a 260-pound wrestler for $250. That's less than a dollar a pound. You got his contract for a whole year, you'll make a fortune. Wrestlers and cowboys are the biggest things in television.
Remley, I don't want no wrestler.
Fire. They're $2 a pound, and they insist on weighing in with their horses.
What does this wrestler look like?
Well, I don't know what he looks like. I haven't seen him yet. But if we get down to the gym, we can see him now. He's training for a bout tonight.
Is he any good?
He's great. To show you how much I think of him, I bet $250 that he'll win tonight.
You did? Hey, where'd you get the $250?
That's your change from the $500. Don't get excited. The masked mangler cannot lose.
Masked mangler?
Yeah, that's his name. He wears a mask and a long cape.
Oh, Remley. Well, with all that dough I got invested in him, I better go down to that gym and take a look at the mang.
Well, I'll get my hat and go with you.
Alice. Now, wait a minute, honey. You don't want to go down there. There's a lot of rough, illiterate, punch-drunk guys around there. You're not accustomed to such characters.
Oh, I don't know. your band rehearsals all the time, don't I?
True. I guess you'll be all right. Come on. Hey, look at them go, huh?
Yeah.
I love it down here, don't you?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Hey, Remley, a lot of rough characters in this gym. Sure glad I left Alice, made her wait outside.
Oh, yeah, certainly a crude-looking group. I'm glad we don't have to associate with these low creatures. Thank goodness our associates come from a higher strata of society.
Oh, there you are, Frankie. Why are you going to pay me the $3 you owe me?
Hey, Rem, who's the Deb?
He's my doctor.
Oh.
He trains here for all his operations. Hey, Curly, look. Look at the guy in the ring with the mask on. That must be our boy.
Yeah. Hey, look at the size of that guy.
Yeah.
He's tremendous, ain't he? Hey, Remley, I think this time we got something.
Yeah. Come on, let's go over and watch while he mixes with that other guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great wrestler.
Remley, you sure you didn't buy me a seal?
Grunt like that. Hey, Curly, look at the form on the mangler.
No,
he's got a great stranglehold on the other.
No, I don't like it. I'm trying to tell you, he ain't doing it right. I better get him straight, too. Hey, you up there. Hey, Mang. Hey, break it up, will you? Break it up there.
Wait a minute, bud. What's the idea telling my boy to stop wrestling?
What do you mean, your boy? That's the masked mangler, ain't it?
No, this is the hooded terror.
Oh, the hooded guy. Oh, well, I'm sorry, mister. I thought that was my wrestler. See, I just bought the masked mangler.
You bought the masked man?
Yeah.
The masked mangler!
What the heck's he laughing about? All I said was the masked mangler. He gets hysterical. Must be a funny word, like Cocker Spaniel or Brooklyn or something.
Well, never mind him. Let's go find our boy. Hey, Mushy, where's the masked mangler?
Right in that ring over there. Duh, thanks.
I didn't know you spoke the language that well.
Yeah, well, come on, Curly. Let's go over and see the mangler.
Oh, look, yeah. Yeah, there he is right there. Hey, Frankie, look. Hey, he's taking his robe off. At last, we're going to see what he looks like.
Hey, Curly, get a load of that physique. I never saw a guy built like that before.
I never saw a guy built like that before either. I've seen dames built like that, but... Dame! Oh, Frankie, the mangler's a woman.
Well, there must be a mistake, Curly.
It better be. I'm going to find out. Hey, hey, lady.
What do you want, Shorty?
Mind telling me your name?
Not at all. They call me the Masked Mangler, but you can call me Myrtle.
Myrtle? She looks more like Clyde. Say, Myrtle, what's your last name?
Majerski.
I didn't know Bronco had a brother, did you? Say, look, lady.
What's on your mind, handsome?
You'll be all right. Say, my name is Phil Harris. I'm your new owner.
Well, this promises to be a happy association. You want to wrestle, cutie?
Well, couldn't we just shake hands?
Well, if you insist, shake.
Ow! Let go, you bully. What are you trying to do?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did it hurt your little hand?
Oh, no, no. I always carry my fingers around in a little bunch like this. Look, Mert, we got to have a little talk. You see, I'm the guy...
What's taking you so long? What have you been doing?
Alice, honey, I want you to meet the masked mangler.
This is... Phil, this is a woman. Isn't it?
Yeah, this is...
This is my wrestler.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Alice! Stop banging your head against the ring post. You want to loosen the ropes? What do you want to do, get stupid or something?
You'll have to get rid of her, Phil.
I got a better idea, Curly. Let's get rid of the blonde.
A moment. This man happens to belong to me.
Well, now, calm down. Tell you what we'll do, sister. We'll settle this like ladies. I'll wrestle you for him. Two balls out of three.
Hey, just like old times, got two women fighting over me.
Hey, Alice, when you get in the ring with her, throw an arm lock on her and put...
No, I'm not getting in the ring with anybody. Phil, I insist you get rid of this wrestler.
He can't. He got a year's contract with her. Look, Curly, just because she's a woman don't mean she can't wrestle. Let's test her. I'll get you a pair of trunks and you get in the ring.
Hold on. I ain't getting in no ring with her. You get in with her.
Curly, I can't do that. I'm a man and she's a woman. It wouldn't be a fair match. She's liable to kill me. Alice, if I can find a pair of trunks to fit you...
No!
Poor Curly, married to a coward. Well, if nobody will wrestle her, I guess I'll have to.
Good boy, Frankie. Hey, Mert, you think you can handle him?
Handle him? Why, I'll mangle him! Take your coat off and climb up in the ring, small fry.
Hi, Mr. Harris.
Now, what are you doing here, Julius?
I come down to see your wrestler. Where is he?
Right up there. The one in the tights.
This is a wrestler? Looks more like an untidy pile of chopped liver.
This happens to be a female.
Female what?
A female woman.
Careful what you say, Max. You're speaking to the sex my mother belongs to.
Say, who is this handsome little boy? Come here, son. You're the cutest little rascal I've ever...
Quit patting me on the head, you pound me into the floor.
Keep quiet, will you, Juliet? We got something important to do. All right, Bram, get started. Now, don't hurt that little lady.
I'll try to be gentle. All right, Mert, I'm ready. Come and get it.
Here I come.
Hey, she threw him right out of the ring.
I don't believe it. Let me see you do that again, lady.
All right, this time I'll throw him back in the ring.
Hey, look at the bounce. This gal's sensational.
Okay, I'll throw him out again.
Don't frame yourself. I'll throw myself out. Oh. Hey, man, this dame is terrific. If she wrestles for us, we'll make a fortune with her.
Yeah, we're going to need it to give me a decent burial.
We can't make a fortune except for one thing. Women ain't allowed to wrestle in California.
They ain't allowed. But I got my money. I got 500. Miss Nagurski. Is this true?
Yes, it is, Curly. That's why I'm a manager, sold you my contract.
But I...
Oh, maybe it's just as well, Phil.
Oh.
It cost you $500, but you're free of her.
Well, I guess so. All right, let's get out of here. So long, Mert.
It's been nice knowing you, Mert.
Not so fast. We got a contract. You're my master for a whole year, Curly. I like you boys, and I'm sticking with you. Shall we go home? And don't you worry, I won't cause you no trouble. I do everything I can for you fellas.
Think we can get enough meat to feed her? All right, come on. Gee, what a day. All this has tired me out.
You're tired. What about me? I almost broke my back throwing me out of the ring. I can barely walk. I don't know if I'll be able to make it to the car. Myrtle, put me down!
Okay, do you want me to put you down too, Mr. Harris?
No! You've cost me $500 and I'm going to get something for my money. You're taking me home. Climb up here, Alice. You can drive. Get up.
The things you get Phil into. Now we have a female wrestler living with us.
Well, don't blame me. It's Curly's fault. He should have listened to my first suggestion and invested in my Uncle Eddie, the inventor.
Ah, stop already with the uncle. Your uncle never invented nothing.
He didn't, huh? 20 years ago, he discovered the greatest kitchen aid in the world. This thing washes the dishes, dries them, scrubs the floor, does the cooking.
That sounds like a great gadget. What does he call it?
My aunt.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Martha Wentworth and Alan Reed. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on Tuned to Yesterday, part one of the story The Wrestler from November 27, 1949 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of a sitcom on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, the woman who played Myrtle the Wrestler on that last broadcast was a woman named Martha Wentworth, who would go on to work with Remley on the show, Elliot Lewis, as almost a stock company actor for him when he directed shows like Crime Classics, Suspense, and Broadway Is My Beat. A very versatile actress during radio's yesteryear, appearing on all major networks. And now let's get on to her fine performance in part two of the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show of the story The Wrestler. This heard a week later on NBC on December 4th, 1949.
Last week, Phil inadvertently acquired a year's contract with a female wrestler named Myrtle Nagurski, alias the Masked Mangler. A California state law prohibits women from wrestling, so Myrtle, out of gratitude, has insisted on earning her keep by working for the Harrises. She's moved in with them, and as we look in, she is serving breakfast to the family.
Now eat your Wheaties, little one. Go on, eat them all, honey. And when you grow up, you'll be as big and strong as I am.
But I don't want to be as strong as you are. I don't want to weigh 240. Now look, Myrtle, I've had 3 bowls of Wheaties already. Can't I stop? I don't want to be a champion.
Well, now just keep eating. I'll tell you when to stop. How about you, Mrs. Harris? You only had 2 bowls. You better have another one.
If you don't mind, I'd rather not.
But you need the nourishment, dearie. Why, look at you, you poor thing. Why, I never saw anybody so skinny. Why, I bet you don't weigh more than 145 pounds. We gotta fatten you up, Blondie. Get a little flesh on your bones like me. You want to have a body like mine, don't you?
Gee, if I only could.
You could. Anybody can build themselves up if they want to. You know something? I didn't always look like this.
How'd you get hurt?
You know, I used to be so skinny. When I was 14, I only weighed 170 pounds. And when I was 10, I only weighed 135. And when I was born...
I know, you weighed 98 pounds stripped.
Even today, I'm not my normal weight. I usually weigh in at 265. But now I'm all the way down to 240.
Oh, you poor thing. You're nothing but skin and bones.
No, skin and bones is right. I don't know what's holding me together.
Maybe it's the fat. Myrtle, will you please bring the coffee in?
Okay, Mrs. Harris.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't walk so heavy. Every time she takes a step, my teeth rattle. I've never seen a dame so powerful. She's stronger than Remley's breath on a Saturday night.
Phil, and that's why we have to get rid of her. She means well, but she doesn't know her own strength. She breaks everything she touches. I want you to go in and tell her to leave.
Who? Little old yellow-bellied me?
Phil, are you afraid of Myrtle?
What are you talking about? What do you mean, me afraid? How dare you even... Yes.
And another thing, Phil, she's been teaching the children how to wrestle. They idolize her, and if we don't put a stop to it, she'll make a couple of ruffians out of them.
Oh, now, wait a minute. It's not that bad. You forget that we've taught our girls to be little ladies, and they're not going to be affected by
any... All right. Stand back, folks. Make way for gorgeous baby Alice, the Encino Cyclone.
Phyllis, what are you talking about? Where's your sister?
Quiet! She's entering the ring now, weighing 72.5 pounds and wearing purple trunks. We give you the gorgeous one, Hondi-dee-dee-dee.
Phil, look at baby Alice.
She's strutting like gorgeous George.
She's wearing my mink cape.
Well, that's nothing. Those are my bobby pins she's throwing.
This, girls, immediately. Baby Alice, I want you to have your breakfast. Now sit down.
Okay, Rip. What do I get? The black or the white corner?
I'll black or white corner her. Come here, you. I'll take you across my knee.
Don't touch the gorgeous one. You haven't been sprayed yet.
Well, I don't understand for any more of this. Girls, sit down and eat your breakfast. Phil, you're going into the kitchen and tell Myrtle she's through right now.
All right. If you insist, I'll go in and tell her. What are you after, my insurance money? A guy can get killed that way. Uh-oh, saved by the bell. I'll answer it. Oh, hello, Frankie.
Hi, Curly. Hey, you look a little pale. What's the matter?
Frankie, I'm about to go into that kitchen and commit suicide.
Oh. I knew Alice was a lousy cook, but I didn't think she was that bad.
Emily, stop saying things like that. Alice's lousy cooking has nothing to do with it. I mean, well, it's about Myrtle.
Oh. And how is Miss Nagurski girl Moose?
Well, she looks a little neater since we took her antlers off. She can get through the doors now. Look, Remley, I'm glad you're here because, kids, you can help me. Look, Myrtle and Alice don't get along together, and it's up to us to throw that dame out.
Okay, you grab Alice by the shoulders, I'll grab her by the feet.
Not Alice. Myrtle's the one we have to throw out.
Curly, are you crazy? You realize Myrtle could take our two heads and crack them together like eggshells?
Yeah.
She could break every bone in our bodies. Well,
cut it out! We got to go in and throw Myrtle out, so come on.
All right.
I know it's a tough job, but we'll do it together. Let's just gird our lions and go in. After all, I ain't afraid of no woman. Open that door. Myrtle?
What do you want, Shorty?
Myrtle?
You said that already.
All right. I'll handle this. Myrtle?
Oh, listen to this boy ad lib. Mert? Why don't you try Mer?
Mer? I don't like the way you've taken over around here. This house ain't big enough for the both of us.
So?
So one of us will have to leave.
So?
So will you please come up and help me pack my bag?
Around here. What's the beef, Curly?
Well, I'm just thinking of you, Myrtle. Housework isn't for you.
Oh, you think I ought to be doing something a little more dainty, huh?
Well, yeah. You should be something that fits your personality. Like a sand hog or a steelhead. Or a cornerstone for a skyscraper.
Mr. Harris, we got a year's contract. And that contract says you got to keep me busy. Now, I don't care if it's in the house or out of the house, as long as you keep me working.
Well, wait a minute now, Myrtle. Look, you mean if I find you a job someplace outside that you'll take it?
Yeah, if you want me to go.
Get your hat and coat, Myrtle. Let's be on our way. Look, Remley, this is a cinch. All we got to do is to find somebody else to hire.
Yeah.
Well, don't stand there, Rem. Out with it. Out with it.
Out with what?
Now is the time to know a guy.
Don't be silly, Curly. I wouldn't wish her on anybody. Besides, I don't know anybody I dislike well enough except Mr. Scott of Rexall. And
Curly, I know a guy.
Scotty.
Yeah.
Sure, a lot of Rexall stores put people on for the Christmas rush. Maybe we can get her a job with one of the independent Rexall druggists, huh?
Yeah.
All right, come on, Frankie. Now, let's get Alice, and we'll take Mert down to see Mr. Scott. You know something? Our troubles are over. I don't know why I'm afraid of Myrtle. Was the preacher afraid of the bear?
What preacher and what bear?
I'm glad you asked that, Billy Graham. Just happened to have two courses explanation. A preacher went out walking, t'was on one Sunday morn. It was against his religion, but he took that gun along. He shot himself some mighty fine quail and one little measly hare. But on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Now the bear got down in the middle of the road on all fours like a great big toad and looked that preacher right square in the eye. And the preacher looked at him and said, bye-bye. Preacher got up, took off the run. The bear right after that preacher did come, and he run for about a mile. And the preacher sat down and rested a while. Preacher got up, started again. Bear right after him with more vim, and he ran till he spotted a tree. Said, up on the limb is the place for me. Bear reached up, made a grab for him. Preacher leaped and he made the limb. Pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, oh Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale and them. The Hebrew chill in the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. Yes, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sake, don't help that bear. Now just about then that limb let go and the preacher come tumbling down. Reached in his pocket, pulled his razor out just before he hit the ground. He hit the ground with an awful bang. It was a terrible sight. That preacher and the bear with the razor in his hair just a-cutting left and right. They rolled around on the ground. The preacher was up and then he was down. The bear let out an awful moan and looked like the preacher was holding his own. Said, if I get out of here alive with that good book, I will abide. I'll never sin on Sabbath day and Sunday come. I'll pray and pray into the heavens. He did glance, said, Lord, just give me one more chance. Then hits the suspenders gave away, and he knocked that bear 10 feet away. Preacher got up, made a bound for the tree where he'd be safe and sound. Pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, oh, Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale and them. The Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. Yes, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, don't help that bear.
Myrtle, when you meet Mr. Scott, remember, he's very dignified, so try to be gentle and ladylike.
Yes,
huh?
Please try and be gentle and ladylike, and whatever you do, don't shake hands with him. Every time you shake hands with somebody, their fingers drop off like ripe bananas.
Hey, there's Scott over there by the counter. Hiya, Scotty.
How do you do? Oh. If it isn't Remley, nature's biggest blunder. What are you doing here?
Well, he came down with us, Mr. Scott.
Oh, Mrs. Harris, it's a pleasure to see you.
Aren't you going to say hello to me?
Well, Mrs. Remley, too. You sure picked yourself a fat one, Lefty.
Mr. Scott, she's not his wife, you see. She belongs to us. She came to live with us last week, you see.
Oh, she's your mother-in-law. Mrs. Harris, you certainly have a beautiful mother.
This is not my mother.
Oh. Well, then, you certainly have a handsome father.
You've got a terrific sense of humor, hasn't he, Remley?
He leaves me cold.
Mr. Scott, this is Miss Nagurski. We came down to see if you could please give her a job.
Alice, don't plead with him. Let me handle this.
Scotty, she's on your payroll.
She is not on my payroll.
She better be, or I'll tell her to stamp her foot and break every showcase in the place.
Fine, Remley, fine. Look, Mr. Scott, maybe you could use her as a sales girl.
Well, I might. I'll tell you what. We'll try her behind the counter for a while, and if she works out, she's got a job. Now, Miss Nagurski, just step behind the counter, please.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Scott.
That's all right, Mrs. Harris. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to find Mrs. Scott. She's shopping around here someplace.
Is your wife here? Say, I'd like to meet her, Scotty. I heard a lot about her, but I never had the pleasure of meeting her.
Let's keep it that way.
Gee, I never met her either, Scotty. I'd like
some
to
some other time, Harris. I'm a little late now. Excuse me, please. Oh, I hope I didn't make a mistake hiring someone Harris and Remley recommended. Oh, well, if she doesn't work out, I can always fire her.
Hello, Clyde.
Oh. Hello, Cora.
Well, what's the matter with you, dear? You look a little peaked. Have you been under a strain?
Yes. Yes, I've just been talking to Remley and Harris. They wanted to meet you. Now, look, Cora, if you happen to see them, don't introduce yourself.
Oh, well, I doubt if I'll run into them. I've done most of my shopping. I just have to stop at the perfume counter, and then I'm on my way home. And don't forget, Clyde, we're having dinner out tonight.
Yes,
so dear. Get home early so we can get dressed.
Yes, dear.
Phil, this isn't going to work out. Myrtle's had 3 customers in 5 minutes and lost every one of them. She hasn't made a sale, and Mr. Scott's sure to fire, and then
we're going to... Now, honey, 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 don't get upset. Look, you go over to the soda fountain and get a Coke or a Stinger or something. Frankie and me will stay here with Myrtle, and we'll help her. Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry I upset Mrs. Harris, but I can't help it if the customers didn't buy anything. If they say they don't want nothing, what am I supposed to do?
Well, you can't just take no for an answer. Got to use salesmanship. Apply a little pressure.
Pressure, huh?
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing to it, Myrtle. Look, selling perfume is a cinch. Now, look, Myrtle, let us wait on the next person that comes in, and I'll bet anything I can sell the next customer.
I'm the next customer, and how much do you want to bet?
Julius, what are you doing here?
I come down to buy my girlfriend some for Christmas. What are you guys doing here?
All right, never mind what we're doing here. Never mind. I just heard you. You just said that you bet I couldn't sell you something. Well, I'll bet you $5 I can.
It's a bet.
Wait a minute. You got something in mind to buy, haven't you?
Yeah, I got something in mind that I'm very anxious to buy it. But you ain't gonna be able to sell it to me.
Why not?
Because I ain't gonna tell you what it is. Now, if you'll just give me the $5 I just won, I'll...
All right, hold it now. You're not playing fair. If you tell me what you want, I'll sell it to you because Rexall handles everything.
Okay, I'll play fair.
That's better. Now, what do you want to buy your girlfriend?
A second-hand ferry boat with white wall tires.
Very well, sir. If you'll just step over to our second-hand ferry boat with white wall tires department, we'll wrap one up.
Frankie, will you cut that out? Now, don't get wild, Julius. Be reasonable.
Okay, I'll make it easy for you. Show me one with regular tires.
Listen, I ain't paying off that bet until you give me a sensible answer.
All right, all right. I want perfume for my girlfriend. But I want something that matches her personality.
I got you now, kid. I got you. Because we got perfume that goes with any kind of personality. We got perfume for blondes, perfume for brunettes, perfume for redheads. Now, what's your girl?
She's bald.
Can't, huh? Myrtle, wrap up a dram of glow coat, number 5.
Oh, Curly, you're wasting your time trying to sell this kid anything.
He couldn't sell nothing to nobody.
Maybe not to you, but I could to a human being. Perfume is a cinch to sell a woman. Why, perfume is a romantic item. All you have to do is to flatter them a little and
pardon
then...
Pardon me, miss. May I see some perfume?
Keep your shirt on, sister. I'll be right with you.
Wait a minute, girl. Wait a minute. Say, Julius, if I sell this woman, is our bet still on?
Yeah, you've been talking big. Let's see what you can do.
Okay, watch closely, Merton. You'll see an old master at work.
May I please be waited on?
Ah, bonjour, monsieur. Eat easy, please. It is a pleasure to serve a lady who has such a beautiful face and such a charming entourage.
May I see some perfume?
Most assuredly. Something to attract the opposite sex, no doubt. How about a dram of Manhunt? You see, that'll get them anytime, even out of season. And it's great for attracting young men.
I don't want to attract young men.
Then how about an ounce of ancient ardor? That attracts old men.
I want to attract old men.
How about a Panda Red Heart? That attracts dogs.
Julius, will you go away? Curly, you're going to need help. Lady, allow me to suggest a perfume that will blend with your personality. Let me study you. I know just the thing to enhance your brunette beauty.
I'm a blonde.
Oh, pardon me, I was looking at the roots.
Thanks for your help, kid. Madame, I have just the thing for your blonde beauty. It's gardenia.
I don't like gardenia.
Madame, let us not quibble. Let me put a little behind your shell-like ear.
Please. I don't want any behind my shell-like ear.
Try some behind your other ear. The one that's shaped like a
pretzel. What was that, young man?
Oh, he said that your ear was shaped like a schmetzel. You see, a schmetzel is a rare, delicate shell found in the lower antipodes.
You sound like you know what you're talking about.
Lady, now you see, you might not like the ordinary gardenia, but this is different. It is so seductive. No man can resist it. Here, let me show you. Let me put a drop behind your ear.
No, I don't want
just
it.
Just a drop. Just a... There. Frankie.
Yeah?
Smell the lady. See what happens.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she smells very nice, but...
Oh, you beautiful creature! I love you madly. Fly away with me!
All right, Remley, wait a minute. It ain't that powerful. Smells nice, but... I wouldn't say that it...
I'll leave him, darling, and come with me. We'll fly away together to some enchanted South Sea island.
Mary,
some romantic spot where the palm trees sway.
Any night, any day, in your heart, we'll call you away, away.
Please, you madmen, please. I've decided I don't want any perfume. I'm going to report this to Mr. Scott.
Oh, now, wait a minute, lady. Wait a minute. Please don't get excited. Don't call Mr. Scott. That old goat has no sense of humor.
What?
Look, all I want you to do is to just smell the perfume.
I don't want to smell it.
Please.
I don't want to.
Oh, she's getting tough. So step aside, Mr. Harris. I know how to handle them when they get tough. Look, sister, my friend said smell it. Now bend over and smell it.
Oh, please, let go of my neck. But don't press so hard, you're hurting me. Please, I... Stop!
Myrtle, let go of her neck.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Myrtle, what did you do? What did you put on her, a double Gretchen? Oh, Myrtle, look what's happened. She's passed out.
You told me to apply pressure.
Oh, Frankie, how is this poor woman?
Ah, she's all right, Curly. She just fainted from fright.
Well, we better get this dame out of here. If anybody sees what we've done, we're dead. Now, come on, help me pick her up. We'll prop her between us, and then we'll walk her out.
Okay. All right, I got it.
All right, careful now. We don't
want to... Oh, there you are. Well, Harris, how is Miss Nagurski doing? What's this? What happened to that woman you're holding up? Did she faint or something?
Oh, no, no, no. A Christmas shopper. Got a snoot full.
Oh, to think this would happen in one of our stores. Get her out of here before anybody else... Wait a minute. She looks familiar. Let me lift her face up and see.
Cora! Do you know this lush?
Oh, this can't be. Cora never touched a drop in her life. How could she get drunk?
Beginner's luck, I guess.
Why, who is this dame?
This dame happens to be my wife.
Your wife? Oh, no. Mr. Scott, it wasn't our fault. You see, well, I... Well, you better take her, Scotty, and don't worry. With tenderness, this sort of thing can be cured.
Yeah,
you
well, can, don't blame her, Curly. Don't blame her. He probably drove her to it.
Oh, take good care of her, Scotty. She's just fainted. Honest she is. We got to go now. Remley, Myrtle, come on. Let's get out of here. Hey, so long, Scotty.
Come back here, Harris. What happened to this... Cora. Cora, speak to me. Say something. She can't talk. Oh, if I find out that Remley and Harris are responsible for this, I'll... What am I getting sore about? This is the first time she's been quiet in 20 years.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on Tuned to Yesterday, wrapping up that two-part story, The Wrestler, from December 4th, 1949 on NBC. And so closes this hour of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.